My name is Jeremy Pierre. So it's a privilege and honor to be here. As you see in your handout there, I'm going to be talking to you today about discernment as a superpower of faith. That's kind of maybe a weird title to you. But I'm going to talk to you about the importance of discernment, not as an occasional tool, but I want you to think of it as something you are practicing constantly as you're caring for other people. You're seeking to discern with wisdom what it means to honor the Lord or what it means to dishonor the Lord in the person's response, in the person's context, in what they're going through. So hopefully I can make the case and apply it to your counseling ministry well for you. So let me briefly ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll dive in. Father, help me to serve my brothers and sisters here in this room. Help me to serve them by speaking accurately and well from your word. Would you open your word to us so that we might understand what you're saying in it and understand how that then shapes and changes the way we approach different things in our own lives, including our counseling ministries, Lord. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been out in the country at night? And I'm talking like country. I'm not talking city. I'm not talking town. I'm talking country, okay? So like I just said, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and Kentucky, there's a lot of country. And so, I mean, I live in suburbs, but I've got friends who are good old boys, hillbillies, that live way out in the middle of nowhere, and I love going and visiting with them. And so that we go out there every so often and do outdoor activities, you know, shooting, hunting, things like that. And an illustration came to me that really demonstrates what I'm going to try to get at in discernment one time when I was out there. As the sun goes down and it moves to twilight and then it moves to night, if you're really out in the country, it's amazing how enveloping all of the darkness is. You can't see a thing. And so think about the experience of that for a moment. You go from having the equipment you need, your eyes, to be able to discern and understand what's going around you so that you can navigate things rightly. You're not going to trip on that rock. You're not going to step in that ditch. You are capable because you've been given capabilities that allow you to see and make the right moves. But when that sun goes down and it really gets dark, your eyes, your capabilities become useless all of a sudden. It's like something unplugged them from the back of their sockets or something. Like if it's truly dark enough, you're not even seeing your hand all that much in front of you. So you're unable to see the space around you in order to make the right decisions regarding it. That's what I'm talking about. But you know what hillbillies in Kentucky love? They love gadgets. They love outdoor gadgets. And you know what one of their favorites is? You would think I'm about to say flashlight. That's exactly right. You would think I was about to say like LED headlamps, but it's night vision goggles. These people are crazy and they're awesome. By night vision goggles, either through scope or through what you put on, it's the ability to now be able to see the present darkness. And in other words, unlike a flashlight, unlike a headlight, it's not providing light. It's providing an enhanced capability to your eyes, and this is my point that I'm getting at, to make distinction. That's what discernment is. It's the ability to make distinction, to tell the difference between. That's really what our eyes are doing when there's light around us during the day. When I'm looking down here, the reason I'm not tripping over this step is because I see the distinction between the platform and the hardwood. Although, is that plastic? I don't know if that's wood. Whatever this floor is, okay? I can see the distinction between it. That's how I make good judgment as to how to navigate it. So I'm trying to emphasize that distinction is really core to the concept of what discernment is. That's what we see in Romans chapter 12 when it talks about this idea of discernment. And it talks about it not as a capability that you train yourself in necessarily, or you master for yourself, or you somehow earn. It's a capability that's given to you that you then live out and practice. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all about. So if you do have a Bible, turn there with me, please. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make that main point that you see in your handout, and then I want to demonstrate it from the text with a couple observations. And then we're going to spend plenty of time, hopefully, talking about implications for your counseling ministry. So let me read the text first. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So as you see in your notes there, the main point I'm going to be drawing is that God gives believers new life, and as they offer that life back to God, they grow in their ability to distinguish between what is pleasing to the Lord and life-giving to them, and what is displeasing to the Lord and destructive to them. A primary goal in counseling is to help someone discern what responses lead to life. Now, I'm going to get to that first point here. God gives believers new life by faith. And I do not want you to think, because in your outline, there's not tons of data under it, like we're going to move past it fairly quickly. But I don't want you to think of this as a introduction or segue or throwaway point to get to the good stuff of how we apply it. Guys, no. Our application is far less important than the fact that God is the cause of our salvation. God is the giver of the gifts that we need to please Him and honor Him in all of these things. So this first point, guys, should make your hearts rejoice, even if it's familiar to you, that God is the one who gives believers new life by faith. So here's what I want you to consider here. These two verses about how you worship God. And this very first point I'm trying to emphasize is it's probably already obvious to you that God is the object of your worship. In other words, if you ask the question, what are you worshiping? Well, duh, God. But these verses tell us that God is not just the object of what we're worshiping. He is the cause of you being a worshiper. Did you get that? He's the cause of it. You didn't make yourself a worshiper of God, neither did I. God made us worshipers of Him. How do I know this? Well, the first line obviously says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. So Paul's about to give them practical instructions, but you guys know this, when you see a therefore, it's always pointing back and you're asking the question, what's it there for? That's one of those clever little preacher tricks that's actually cool and works, okay? A lot of preacher tricks are stupid and shouldn't be said. That's a cool one. What's it there for? And it points back to this idea of by means of the mercies of God. So how familiar are you with Romans? We're not going to go back and look at chapters 1 through 11. But how familiar are you with Romans? He spent 11 chapters describing basically the mercies of God. That God is the one who causes salvation in people. They don't cause it in themselves. He had to reveal Himself to them. They were not able to find Him in the dark through their philosophy, through their good works, through their religious practices. You and I can't find God. He has to reveal Himself to us. That's what the book of Romans is about. And I do love the fact that it says, by the mercies of God.